Okay,
ladies, we have spent time this semester so far learning the Isser of Cholav Akum, followed by the Isser of Pas Akum. And then the third thing that we will discuss, the beginning of the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Hey Amid Beis, going over to Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, is the Isser of Shemen Akum. Now, there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel that does not seem to be a machlokas that's on equal planes, no? Because Rav says that the Isser of Shemen was instituted by Daniel, right? And Shmuel says, no. The Isser of Shemen, according to Shmuel, is because Lifason Shel Kalim Ostrason. We'll talk about the details of that in a minute. But L'cha'ora, they're not speaking the same language. Because Rav is telling me history, and Shmuel is giving me a reason. Right? Couldn't it be that Daniel said it's usher because of Zlifason Chokalim? L'chora, they're not really speaking to each other. So this is one problem to kind of hold on to, and we'll try to get back to a little bit later. So far, so good? Next issue. When Rav says that Zlifason Shel Kalim Osrason, when Rav says that Daniel Gazar Lav, how does Rav know that Daniel made the Gezerah? It's a pasuk, right? The verse in Daniel says that they made some sort of law, basically, And Daniel decided he's not going to eat the pas bag hamelech, right? Where does the Gemara have that? Vayosem Daniel libo asher lo yiska'el v'pas bag hamelech u'biyein mishtayo. Right? That's a pasuk in Daniel. By the way, what was the story with Daniel? I think your father teaches Daniel, doesn't he? Is it part of his repertoire?
Yeah, I teach all of them.
Okay.
I mean, the book of Netzar was like gathering like different young boys.
Right, so they gather a few young boys who are named Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, although they're given some Persian names. So Daniel is Belshazzar, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have other names. And Daniel decides he is not going to eat any of the non-kosher food, right? So Daniel requests from the person in charge of the prison where he is to only be given kosher food. And they give Daniel what? What does it say in the first paragraph of Daniel? What does he eat? Zer onim. He eats like seeds, no? This is the source of the minhag to have like, you know, the hamantashen on Purim? Have poppies in it? Yeah, totally gross. It's almost as bad as buckser, we know. But that is, right, the source, because Zer Onim, right, were eaten, and that is the source. Okay, wonderful, great. Now, the interesting thing is that the government decided to agree with Daniel's request to give Daniel the kosher food, so Daniel did not have to eat the treif. That's the basic story in Daniel. First of all, how come Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are not worried about eating treif? Why only Daniel?
Maybe they were relying on
them. Maybe they were what?
Like relying on Daniel. Like maybe they all
like Daniel's like the bigger little kid. They're all kids, apparently.
It's not Yahar
Galiyav. So really they should eat treif. Okay. But Daniel's like super frum for some reason. Why is Daniel being so super frum?
Maybe it's like the first one. Like
Daniel's being super frum, presumably, because he feels that it is Daniel feels it's like Shas Hashmad when the government says you have to violate an Isser, so that's why Daniel doesn't want to do it. But L'cha'ora, then Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah also, right, shouldn't have eaten it. It's really not abundantly clear. And you have to read the Mefarshim there in Daniel, where they try to explain how come Daniel is machmir not to eat the treif food, and the others are not machmir. Now, Daniel decides not to eat pas bag hamelech. What does pas bag mean? What's bag? Pas, we know what it is, right? The pashtus would be This is Pasakum. No? So then the Yod doesn't want to eat Pas Bag HaMelech, which is Pasakum. Bag is probably in Hebrew the same as bar. Right? In the Atbash, what would that work? Right? Yeah, in Atbash, Aleph Beis Gimel, so Gimel is the equivalent of Reish. If you go backwards, Tufshin Reish. So Gimel and Reish are interchangeable. Bar is a Hebrew expression for fodder, for animal feed, no? So they're probably making some lousy bread for the prisoners, which is Pas Bag HaMelech. And Yein Mishtayo, Mishtayo is in plural, which means two parties or two drinks. One is Yayin and one is Shemen. So there's a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel over here about when everyone is agreeing that Yein Mishtayo refers to Yayin and Shemen, and everyone is agreeing that Daniel refuses to drink Shemen, but the question is, what else? No? So Rav says, yes, Daniel doesn't drink it, and Daniel paskins for all the Jews not to drink Shemen Sha'akum. And Shmuel says, no, Alibo sum, Ulecho Yisrael, lo hore. He doesn't paskin for all of Kal Yisrael. So there's some machlokes about reading this pasuk Yein Mishtayo, whether Daniel made a psak that Shemen should be usher or not. But everyone holds Daniel himself is not drinking Shemen. Yes?
According to Rav and other people who think that Daniel made the gazer for all the Jews,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that it was at this point in time that he did? Because at this point, Daniel wasn't really much of anybody that was...
He's a little boy.
Right, so like, it seems kind of strange to...
So apparently, again, it's not clear whether Daniel refused to eat this at this time, and then maybe at some point later, Daniel said, that which I did not do as a kid should become usher on you. That, I think, would be the pashtos. Although you get the impression that Daniel, although the pasuk speaks of him as being a kid, he was well known. So maybe it was at this time also. That would be interesting, certainly. By the way, the entire Sefer Daniel is like a great mystery. Like, no one has any idea what's going on. Eliana.
If we bring this up for Daniel for the Shemen, how can you bring it up for the pot also?
Yeah. So that's a great kasha. How come we don't bring it up for pas? Look in Tosis. Asher lo yiska'el bepas bag. Pirish Rashbam, the high pas, lav pas mamishu, dilushtama mehocha de Daniel goz ala pas, ela liftanhu. Vilzaz HaMelech Hu. Says Taisvis that he quotes in the Rashbam. By the way, the parish of Rashbam on Avodah Zarah existed at the time of the Rishonim. We can find most of it if you go through the Or Zeruah on Maseches Avodah Zarah. Most of it is found in the Or Zeruah, though there has never been a publication of the parish Rashbam on Avodah Zarah directly. So the Rashbam is saying that bread doesn't really mean bread. No? In other words, says the Rashbam, it's clear that they actually ate the bread, because the psukim later on say that they bring zer onim and pas. No one eats zer onim on its own, no? I mean, people do eat sunflower seeds, but it's not like a meal. That's just like a nervous tick that people have that they like eating sunflower seeds, right? It's not really food. I don't know if that... Okay, but the point that Tosis is making is that pas over here does not mean bread. Is that fair, Liana? That's what Tosis is saying. Tosis is saying that's muchach in the psukim, that pas does not mean bread. Great. Now, what does it mean, asher lo yisga'el bepas bag hamelech? How do we translate the word yisga'el?
Like
Kayla?
Like
what?
Like to dirty?
Dirtied. Who says that?
Rashi.
Rashi says that in Daniel, right? And the Mipsad Yigon also says something like that, that Yisgael means dirtied. That would mean that when you eat treif, you become sullied, correct? Daniel is saying, I don't want to eat treif, even if I'm eating treif beheter, so to speak, because maybe it's a pekuach nefesh, and maybe this is something, we know this is not something that's yeharig vayavar, but the halacha is on some level that there's a din called timtum alev that takes place when you eat treif, no? The Darka Moshe quotes that you should not nurse from non-Jewish women because it will create timtum halev. It will create some sort of... Timtum is like a covering on the soul. It will create like some sort of dirt that attaches to you and you become defiled by eating treif, even if you do it beheter. You know, years ago, there was like this whole scandal in Muncie. Remember this one? When they found out that there was somebody who was a butcher, mamish, mitlanga, pious, and everything. He probably wore vaisazokin, and the meat that he was serving was actually treif. So it became a whole controversy. Obviously, the people didn't know that it was treif, and they were relying on the hashgacha. And there was one question, like a purely halachic question, do you have to kasher your dishes? But then there was a whole discussion in the Muncie Torah journals at the time. Maybe there's a din of timtum halev, and maybe this will affect us on a spiritual plane, right? Like the Darka Moshe says that pesha asim l'dabi im hashkina, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want a nurse from a non-Jewish woman, because since Moshe is going to connect to the Rabbonu Shel Olam, he didn't want the timtum halev. And in the Sifrei HaKabbalah, they point out that if you eat tarfus, it does not allow you to process Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is impeded on entering you when you eat tarfus, and one can get the impression, perhaps on some level, that that's what Rashi means. Asher lo yisgael bepas bag hamelach. Yisgael zakt Rashi is an expression of lichluch, of dirty, no? Of tinuf, of disgustingness. And you don't want the disgusting and dirty treifus to impact you. I think that's what Rashi in Daniel is saying. And I would argue that Rashi is consistent in this. If you turn to Samach Zayin Amid Beis, there's a Rashi Dibar Masko Yalef. Right? We have an expression, Giule Akum, no? Giule Akum means the treifus that's absorbed in the Goyish pot will come out and mess up our food. That's called Giule Akum, right? A treif pot is called Giule Akum. Rashi, on Samach Zainam and Beis, Diba Hamascho Yalef, Rashi says that by Klei Midyan, the Torah says Giule Nochem is Osir, Dichsiv Kodava She Yavo Ba'esh, the Mashmahov and the Shnamish Okacham Beklei Chamin, Tzerech Lahartiach, Kidei She Yiflot Giul Shabala. Rashi says that we need to kasher the kelim to get the disgusting thing that is absorbed out of the keli. In other words, and this is Ezra Schwartz speaking already, so if you don't like this, you can just ignore it, but then you'll get it wrong on the test. But the idea is, according to Rashi, gi'ul means disgusting, and Rashi is saying that treifus is disgusting. By the way, lo yisgael there is with an aleph. Yi'ulei nachrim is with an ayin, but we all know that aleph and ayin is interchangeable in biblical Hebrew. No? Isn't it? The letters of aha oyer, no? Aleph, hey, ches, ayin, and resh. Usios, gronios, no? Didn't you learn this like in third grade?
No.
Maybe not. Okay. What did they teach you in tag?
What is the actual technical definition of giul?
So this is a good question. That's what we're trying to figure out. What does giul mean? So Rashi is saying giul with an ayin means disgusting. And Rashi is saying that lo yisgael bepas bag hamelech is very similar to giul with an ayin. I should not become mitunaf. No? Lichluch, tinuf. Right? Rashi is saying that lo yisgael b'pasfag hamelech is really as if the word would be written with an ayin. I think that's the pshat in Rashi. In other words, treif food zakt Rashi is disgusting. Maimonides writes in the sixth chapter of... did I give this on the Maariv Makomos? I think I did, no? In Perek Vav of... What's it called? of the Shemona Prakim of the Rambam. The Rambam quotes from the philosophers. What's better? Is it better to be Moshe Benafsho, to control your instincts, or is it better to have no desire at all? Is it better to desire those things that the Torah says is Osir, and to be Kovesh as Yitzro, or is it better not to have any desire? So Zuck the Rambam, in a famous essay, that there's a difference between what we call mitzvos sichlios and mitzvos shimios, no? The Rambam says, when it comes to murder, am I supposed to desire killing you? No! Correct! I'm not! Right? Why not? Because that's a mitzvah sichlius, no? Not murdering is something that every society comes up with. Zuck the Rambam. Therefore, I should have no taiva, no desire to murder at all. But when it comes to treif, Zuck the Rambam, I am supposed to say my attitude to treif is supposed to be efshiva efshiba, avama e'esesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazar alai. I'm supposed to walk down 34th Street, even before I get to, what's that store, pastrami, what's the store next to the... next to the dorm called? With a P.
Paprika.
What?
Paprika.
Paprika, right. So I thought it was called pastrami, which is probably better than paprika even. But, right? But even before you get there, you pass by a treif restaurant, no? There's a new treif restaurant that opened up right on the same street. Right? You're supposed to pass by the treif restaurant and say, Efshiva Efshiva. What?
There's a new
kosher
restaurant that just opened up.
What?
The restaurant on that street, there's a new kosher one.
That's kosher?
Pasta.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
that's kosher. I didn't see a hashgacha on the window.
Yeah.
Okay, so please expunge that from the record. But let's say I pass by a treif restaurant. Zuck the Rambam, my attitude when I pass by treif food is I'm supposed to say, yum, delicious, I want to eat it. Efshiva efshiba, ma'esa, kodesh baruch hu gazar alai. Because tarfis is not a mitzvah's sichlis, but tarfis is a mitzvah's shimius. It's something that's only also because God said not to do it. I'm not supposed to say, Efshiva, Efshiva, I really want to murder, but God said I can't murder. I am supposed to say, I really want to eat treif. Now, l'cha'ora, the attitude that Rashi is developing, if I'm correct, that lo yisga'el means the same with an aleph and with an ayin, that attitude in Rashi, in Daniel, and the attitude in Rashi and Samach Zayin is against the Rambam. Rashi is saying that my attitude towards Tarfis is supposed to be Geule Nachrim. Disgusting! No? I think there's like a very fundamental question in Yonei Kashrus. What should be my attitude toward treif food? Do I want to eat treif or not? Please don't answer the question. Or maybe do answer the question, because it can't be wrong. We're manavshach, right? But I think Rashi is saying that you're not supposed to want to eat treif. Am I reading too much into the Rashi? Maybe. I don't know. Okay, what other approaches do we have in the Mefarshim in Daniel about Asher lo yisga'el b'pas bag hamelach? What? What's the Ralbag saying? So I thought the Ralbag meant something along these lines. There's certain words in Hebrew that can mean davar v'hipucho, no? To be mashrish, right? Could mean that something takes root, or it could mean that you uproot something, no? When you're oker avodah zarah, the Gemara says, Rashi has this ala Torah, tzarech l'sharei shachareha, means that you have to get rid of the roots of the avodah zarah. So, shoresh means that you take root, and it can mean to uproot. What are the other words like this? There's a bunch of words in Hebrew that mean davar v'hipucho. No?
I think
what?
He gives the example of shoresh.
Shoresh is that's the example the Ralbag gives, right? But there's some other examples that are more common. I'm just blanking. Okay, but Bekitzer, the Ralbag, I think, is saying, Asher lo yisga'el b'pas bag hamelech, does not mean that you become sullied, that you become dirty, but rather, if you want to be zocha to a ge'ula, no? So then you have to not eat the treif. Daniel felt that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem him from the... if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to redeem him from where he is, he better not eat the treif, because if he eats the treif, he won't be zocha to a ge'ula. Again, it sounds a little heebie-jeebie, but I don't think it's the same as what Rashi is saying, that yisga'el means dirtied. I just think it means, will you get a ge'ula, correct? The Mefarshim, what about the Metsudo? So they say closer to Rashi or closer to the Ralbag?
Also connected to Chasmas?
To
that? Chasmas? Isn't he say, was that not the
other one?
Yeah, it says like, it's not just like
stam.
It's not like a
heebie-jeebie,
like, oh, you
treif
and I
think you're gula. So then the Rambag says, well, why would you not get redeemed? Because since you're going to have the shemen of the Nachrim, that would lead to intermarriage. And once you're intermarried, you won't be zocha to a geula. Right? I think... the Gemara speaks in Erevin about how Avram Avinu, so to speak, stands at the gates to Gan Eden, and anybody who intermarried, Avram Avinu says, can't get in. Isn't that scary? Hey, don't intermarry. By the way, if anyone tells you that I never heard in Stern College that you can't intermarry, I'm telling you right now, you can't. Hey, okay, good. Well, on record. It's there. It's on the tape. You cannot intermarry. It's really awesome. In fact, we can learn the Gemara Lama Vav on the base about the nature of the Isser of intermarriage. It's in the Sudai Reis and the Sudra Abunan, right? We'll have to discuss that in greater length. But the point is that the Ralbag is saying that if you want to be Zocha to a Geula, you have to avoid the Shemen, because the Shemen will lead to intermarriage and that will prevent Geula from happening. So far, so good. The other Mefarshim, the Metsudos, and the Reb Sadyagon, who I thought was the Radak, but it was really the Reb Sadyagon, they say something closer to Perish Rashi over here. Which I think would lead, right, that Yisga'el, in this context, really means to become dirtied. Okay, so far so good. Let's go back earlier in the Gemara. Rav says that Isser is because of Daniel made a Gezerah, and the Gemara will have a whole conversation about can a later Bezdin eradicate something that the earlier Bezdin put into place, and we'll have to learn those sugyos in greater detail. But Shmuel says the issue is because we fason shokelim temeim osrasan. And the Gemara asks, one second, kelim temeim, right? Most people don't eat only taharo, so what if it's tamei, what's the big deal? Rather, the Gemara says, we fason shokelim asurin osrason. Okay? So now what Shmuel is basically saying is somehow the tarfis in the keli, at first the Gemara's havamina is the tuma in the keli will come out, then the Gemara's maskon is, no, it's not the tuma in the keli, but it's the tarfis, the treif in the keli will come out because of the oil. Now, how does oil get the... We'll talk about treif, because that's the maskon of the Gemara. How does the oil go about getting the treif out of the keli? How does this happen? Is this like magic? Like, how does the oil... By the way, stam oil is?
Olive
oil, right? The assumption is that we're not talking about canola oil, which did not exist until people felt that rapeseed is just a bad word to use for oils. They call it canola oil. No? It's the same thing. What? Huh? It's the same thing. Huh? I think canola is a made-up word.
But I thought like on Pesach people always use grapeseed oil instead of canola oil, and it's like gross.
Because there's a whole discussion where the rapeseed is chametz. I mean kidney. Yes, I'm tired.
Right, but then why would people use it? And not
they use grapeseed oil on Pesach. Or rapeseed oil.
Okay, fine. Two different things.
Right? I think people use grapeseed. Okay, now. Why? How? What mechanism is there that the treif comes out of the keli? Ordinarily in halacha, if I have treif in the keli, the only thing that could bring the treif out is heat. No? And ordinarily in halacha, I have something called nosin tam lefgam, which is that comes up in our Gemara also. Nosin tanufka means that it gives over a putrid taste, or a taste that's stale, and therefore cannot aser. We paskin that once a keli has absorbed iser for 24 hours, the iser that's embedded in the walls of the keli is now pogum, and if it comes out, it won't aser, because it's nosin tanufgam. Over here in our Gemara, according to the opinion of Shmuel, that nosin tanufgam is aser, right? So by what mechanism does it come out? That's the kasha that we have to figure out. You're smiling.
Just because you keep on using the word mechanism, and like all I can think about is like potent interactions between
Is this like physics class or something?
Chemistry makes sense.
Like it makes sense.
Shamnunis. What?
You're talking about oil,
you're
being able to bring out the
shamnunis. Oh. So Rashi writes, the plitoson shapoten umezian shamnunis iser shabalu. Now that's a funny Rashi, because what does shamnunis mean? We already had shamnunis in the Rashi in the Mishnah, Lamed Hey on the base. What does shamnunis mean?
Grease.
Like the fat, no? That's what shamnunis means. Now usually, I can't use the word mechanism to heal, like, it'll confuse
her. No, I think it makes sense, meaning that the point is that the shemen interacts with the fat.
So the shemen interacts with the fat and brings the fat out. That's what Rashi is saying. But that's unusual, because usually when I have a bliya in a keli, right, let's say, we're viewing this like it's the walls of the keli. So inside the walls of the keli, we have chazer. You see that? Because the guy used the keli. So now, when the chazer comes out, it's not the shamnunis of chazer that's coming out. Usually, blios of chazer comes out. There are absorbed flavor bits, particles, but not particles in the physical sense, but in the halachic sense, that the flavor of the chazer will come out. Yet Rashi, for some reason, says shamnunis. Why does Rashi say shamnunis? Comes along the stipler. Stipler is
the brother-in-law of the
Chazon Ish. What?
Yeah.
The brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. Excellent. In fact, the Chazon Ish was mekel, even though Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote a kula of yichud with your sister, no? The Gemara has a kula that you're allowed to have yichud with your sister, correct? The Shulchan Aruch never quotes that kula in Simen Chaf Beis, in the Simen of Yichud. The Chazanist says any din that's in the Gemara is absolutely true, even if it doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. That was his assumption. That's like a methodological point. And the Chazanish was mekel to have Yichud with his sister, who was the stapler's wife. So that's worth $1 million. No, a kula from the Chazanish. Like, wow. But the stipler, in an essay in Simen Tesvav, develops the idea as follows. The Gemara has a Hava Amina that we're talking about Tuman Tahara in the Sugya. That the Zlifasan Chokalim Temeim Ostrasan. The Gemara rejects it because most people don't eat Taharas. But the stipler is bothered by a Kasha here. He says, one second, the Halacha of Tam Ke'ikar. Right? Tam Keker is the halakhic principle that the flavor of something is treated like the thing itself. So in this case, I have flavor of pig in the pot, so it's treated like there is pig in the pot. Right? There's chazer in the pot. But the stipler asks that the halakh of Tam Keker, the Gemara in Bechoros and Daf Chav, teaches us that there's no din of Tam Keker with respect to Tuma. Tam Keker is a halakha in eating food, but it's not a halakha in Tuma and Tahara. So the stipler is bothered by Akasha. Correct the stipler, I don't understand. Why is our Gemara saying, Ahava Amina, that there's a din of Tam Ke'ikar over here, by Tuma? That's not possible, because by Tuma, there's no such thing as Tam Ke'ikar, the stipler asks. So therefore, the stipler says, oh, that's exactly why Rashi writes Shamnunis. Now, if you write Shamnunis, because Shamnunis is not really Tam. Tam is metaphysical.
Time is in the luft, it's in the air. Shamnunis is real. It's like real fatty substance. If it's shamnunis, then there could be a real din of time. That's what the stapler. That's what the stapler suggests. So far, so good. I'd like to argue, however, a different pshat. A different pshat. Ready? Let's assume that it's really absorbed flavor in the pot. There's absorbed chazer inside the walls of the pot, correct? Now, how can that chazer come out of the pot? So there are two ways. It could come out through heat, or it could come out through a principle that we know from Yerudei Yosim and Kufei, the principle of Kovosh Kimavushal. What does Kovosh Kimavushal mean? Louder?
Pickling.
Soaking. Kovosh means soaking or pickling. And the halacha is that if something is soaking for a period of 24 hours, no? That brings the Isser out. Now, the case in Shulchan Aruch is not about bringing the Isser out. The case in Shulchan Aruch of Kovosh Kamavushal was as follows. Let's say I have a liquid medium, we'll call it water, or olive oil, and I have one piece of chazer and one piece of kosher meat, and they're both soaking in the same liquid medium. So al yaday, the 24 hours of soaking, the chazer gives its flavor off to the kosher meat, and the kosher meat becomes treif. The case in Shulchan Aruch of Kovosh, the meaning of Simen Kufhei, is that two items are soaking together, and the treif item gives its flavor into the kosher item. Why does Shulchan Aruch not talk about the case that we have, the case of soaking in a keli? Right, this is what's called in postgame kavush bekelim. No? Why does Shulchan Aruch not talk about kavush bekelim? So it comes along the Taz and the Shach. They were both good Jews. Taz died what year? 1676. Shach died 1662. Right? Shach is 1621 to 1662. Now, both the Taz and the Shach say, one second, Kovosh is impossible by Kalem. I need someone, a philosophy major or a math major or just anyone with a logical mind to figure out why Kovosh is not possible by Kalem.
What does that mean, Kovosh by Kalem?
Let's say I have a treif Kalem.
Yeah.
Right, so there's chazer in the keli. This pot just absorbed pig. Just cooked pig, absorbed pig. And then I am soaking my olive oil in that pot.
But how does regular kovosh work?
Regular kovosh works that, let's say, I have olive oil or water in a pot, and I have one piece of kosher meat and one piece of chazer. So after 24 hours, the chazer gives flavor into the kosher meat. That's regular kovosh.
That's because they're the same medium.
If they're the same medium?
No, they're in the same...
Same level? What?
Yeah.
They're not touching each other.
No, it goes...
Even if they touch each other, it doesn't matter because it's all cold. Right? Kovosh means cold water. Cold olive oil. Cold pressed. Right, usually cold doesn't affect any transfer of taste, but Kovosh Kimavushal tells me that cold will allow taste to transfer. What about in a keli? Eliana's raising her hand.
Maybe it's because it's going to be after 24 hours plus, however long is...
Excellent! Now think about it. I have chazer that's in this pot. The chazer got in this pot because at 6 p.m. on Sunday night, I cooked chazer. Right? And then let's say at 6:30 Sunday night, I start soaking. I have my olive oil in that pot. So that's 6:30 Sunday is when it begins. So 6:30 Monday night, 24 hours later, what's going to happen? The flavor of the chazer will come out, right? One second. If the flavor of the chazer comes out 24 hours later, by the time the flavor of the chazer comes out, that flavor of the chazer is nosin tan lefgam. No? Lecha'ora, and this is the Taz's kasha and the Shas kasha, they all ask on the Isser v'heter ha'aruch. They ask, how are you telling me that there's a din of kavush bekelim, it doesn't make any sense. Because by the time the Isser will come out of the keli, it's going to be nosin tan lefgam already. So everyone works very hard on this kasha in Yerideya. But you know what the answer might be, I suggest? That's exactly why Rashi writes Shamnunis. Shamnunis means that it's Isser Be'en. Shamnunis means that you have fatty substance there. And that does not go pogum after 24 hours. Fatty substance, as long as something is be'en, right? If it's absorbed flavor after 24 hours, it's putrid. But shamnunis is not putrid after 24 hours. Because it's be'en. So that's why Rashi writes shamnunis, in order to say that there's a din of kavush bekelim in this Gemara. I think that's the pshat in Rashi. What about Tosis, ladies? How does Tosis learn? Or how does the Maharam of Lublin learn Tosis? Tosis disagrees with Rashi, no? Tosis says that the Isser comes out because you pour into the keli. You pour the oil into the keli.
What? I have a question. What does that mean?
So I think it means you have hot oil.
Oh, it's hot.
You have hot oil, and you pour it in.
There
we
go.
And that makes the Isser come out. It might mean that, no?
But then why is that specific to pouring?
So why is it specific to pouring? So Tos is saying specific to pouring because later on in the Masechta we have a way of how do you kasher the barrels of wine from the Goyim, and you kasher by pouring some oil into it. So we use the words zlifa over there, zlifa over here. That's what Tos is saying. It's a way of kashering kalem. So one way of learning Tosis is that the oil is hot. But that's not so likely. Because later on in the Masechta, we'll talk about Mishka Shlika de Armoy, which is cooked olive oil. Most olive oil is cold-pressed. No, if you read your bottle of olive oil, it'll say... my wife one time was supposed to write an article for Bina magazine, and they wanted to censor it because they didn't want it to use the word virgin. And my wife's like, how could I write about olive oil without using the word virgin? But like Bina magazine, like, didn't want that, whatever it is. It became like a whole scandal in the olden days of Bina magazine. My wife used to be the science editor for Bina magazine before she got her doctorate. Right? Once you have a doctor from Princeton, so then, you know, being a magazine might not be up to your level anymore. But there's another pshat over here. Look in the Piskei Tosfos, Os Ayin Gimel. For next time we learn, read the Piskei Tosfos, Os Ayin Gimel, which will give us a totally different pshat. And the Piskei Tosfos is commenting on what he thinks the pshat in Tosfos is, and I think that will be a different pshat than what Rashi says, and we'll discuss that on Wednesday, Be'ezras Hashem, and we'll discuss the Rambams. The Tosis at the top, Tosis Bishlama, is going to be a little hard. The Tosis Vahatznan is very important. So that's what you should focus on for next time, and I'll try to give a few additional Marimakomis, and have a good evening.